One of my favorite ways to unwind is by playing a game on my phone while I relax on the couch. And June's Journey is my new favorite as it combines several of my favorite things: finding hidden items, decor and design, and solving a murder. In June's Journey, you dive into June's captivating quest to uncover a scandalous hidden family secret while discovering the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. As you uncover clues, you also get to build your own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. You get to collect scraps of information to fill your photo album and learn more about each character. You get to chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. You'll even get the chance to play in a detective league to put your skills to the test. So can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And it's Courtney's night. Day. What time is it?
Who knows? Where are we? Help. What is going on? Today we are here to talk about the, I don't even know what the word is for this one, infuriating murder of Tamara Green. So Tamara Green was raised by her mother on the east side of Detroit growing up, and her family didn't have much money at all. Her childhood pastor recalled having to bring them food on many occasions when her mother's single salary wasn't enough to cover their basic expenses. She graduated from high school in 1994 and had her first son, Jonathan, when she was 17, followed by her daughter, Ashley, at 19, and her third child, India, when she was 26. She was determined to give her children a better life than she'd had and wanted to make sure that they had comfortable lives and the necessities that her mother had struggled to provide. She decided to pursue a career in nursing and so enrolled in the courses she needed while still working as much as she could to provide for her children. On top of being smart and determined, Tamara had also been born with exceptionally good looks, and so realized at some point that she could make more than enough money to support her family if she worked as a dancer. She started dancing under the name Strawberry, and her talents made her very sought after in some of the most exclusive clubs in Detroit. She was such a superstar in the club scene that she was able to afford a $70,000 BMW.
Ooh.
The father of her daughter said that she came into contact with a lot of very rich and influential men as she danced, from drug dealers to politicians, and some of those men wanted to spend time with her outside of the clubs.
I bet they did.
Mm-hmm. One of those men was Kwame Kilpatrick, who in 2002 was the youngest person to be elected mayor of Detroit at just 31 years old. It's no secret that Detroit is a city that has struggled economically for decades, and Kilpatrick won his election by promising to focus on crime reduction, urban renewal and infrastructure, and an economic stimulus plan to help revive the city. Once he was in office, he instead, quote, used his city-issued credit card to charge thousands of dollars worth of spa massages, extravagant dining, and expensive wines.
Oh, bummer. Don't do that.
Oh, and that's just the very tippy top of the iceberg, guys.
I believe it.
It's one of those Wikipedia pages that you just scroll and scroll and scroll, and it says crimes and crimes and crimes.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of them, but he paid back $9,000 of the $210,000 credit card charges. He also closed the century-old Belle Isle Zoo and Belle Isle Aquarium because of the city's budget problems. The city council overrode his funding veto for the zoo and gave it a budget of $700,000. In 2005, Time magazine named Kilpatrick as one of the worst mayors in America.
God, that sucks.
Yeah.
Please, can Detroit catch a break?
Can Detroit catch a break? What Kilpatrick lacked in leadership and budgeting skills, he made up for in charm and charisma, and I'm assuming he was a hell of a good time considering his spending habits. So in late 2002, it is rumored that he hosted a party at the 4,000-square-foot Manoogian Mansion in Detroit, which is the home where the mayor lives during their tenure. Several of Detroit's hottest dancers were invited to perform for Kilpatrick and his friends, including Tamara Green. And as the night went on, the party continued to grow and get out of hand. Then, according to reports, Kilpatrick's wife, Carlita, arrived at the party just as Tamara was giving the mayor a private dance, at which point she allegedly punched Tamara so hard that she fell into a coffee table and broke it.
Oh, no.
Carlita then hit Tamara with one of the wooden legs that had broken loose and had to be restrained by her husband's security team. Tamara was then taken to a local hospital and admitted under a fake name so she could be treated for the injuries she sustained. According to retired EMS Lieutenant Michael Kearns, who spoke to her that night, she claimed she had been beaten up by the mayor's wife and planned to go public with her experience.
Oh, no.
She wouldn't have to, though, because rumors of the wild party quickly spread through the city and local media outlets started reporting on the event, naming influential people like Attorney General Mike Cox, who had been seen interacting with the dancers and was in the process of campaigning for his reelection. And they also mentioned the incident where Carlita allegedly attacked Tamara.
Now, what year are we again?
2002.
Okay.
As a result, an investigation was launched by the Michigan State Police, but you'll all be shocked and awed to learn that they closed the investigation after finding no evidence of wrongdoing on the part of the mayor or his associates.
Oh, that's so rare.
Never proven party. If you look at this case, they're like the never proven party, even though tens or hundreds of people were at the party, knew about the party, have talked about the party, but they're like, nope, there was no party. We looked into it and there was never one party. The case was closed despite the fact that former officers have reported that they had been called to the scene on the night of the party after an officer was injured during what was described as a party that had gotten out of hand. But the officers were called off while they were en route and so did not file official reports of what happened that night. So basically, they got called in. There was a party at the mayor's mansion. They were on their way, and then in the car, they're supervisor called back and said, oh, actually, it's fine. Don't worry about it. So they never got there to the never proven party.
Right.
In 2002, the Washington, D.C. Police Department announced that they wouldn't provide after hours protection for Mayor Kilpatrick during his visits to the city. Quote, we arrived at this decision because we felt that the late evening partying on the part of Mayor Kilpatrick would leave our officers stretched too thin and might result in an incident at one of the clubs.
Oh, my God.
The Kilpatrick administration alleged that the statements and actions of the Washington, D.C. police were part of a political conspiracy to, quote, ruin the mayor, despite the fact that his father-in-law was a veteran D.C. police officer.
That is quite a reputation. They're like, you're welcome to come here, but we are not paying for any extra anything if you go crazy. And
yeah, you can have guys fights in the daytime when you're wandering around doing official business. But once you hit clubs, no,
you're on your own.
Sir, you're on your own. Like 3 a.m. And he's like, take a shot. Come on. Get to lab. They're like, no, sir, I am tired. Yeah. Please, can we go home? Please, can we go home? I have to clock in 4 hours.
Right.
According to reports, Tamara told Mayor Kilpatrick and his wife that they were going to have to pay her if they wanted her to stay quiet about what happened to her that night. And things took a dark turn for her after that. Tamara confided to her pastor, Ken Hampton, that after the party, someone started calling and threatening her, and she felt very scared for her safety. The pastor said that the last time she called him, he could tell that she was so traumatized that he suggested that they meet in person and they met and that they meet in public in case she was being followed. They met at a Bible bookstore in Greenfield, and he said that she was very afraid and feared that her life was in danger. He encouraged her to go and stay with her mother, who lived out of state, but she felt bound by her obligation to provide for her children, and it was really hard to turn down the huge amounts of money she was making at the clubs and private parties she was in high demand to perform at.
That's just, it's awful that she is doing her job.
Yep.
Gets beat up.
Yep.
Wants to stand up for herself and is now actually afraid for her life.
Yep.
That's really awful.
It's really awful. So in April of 2003, Tamara danced at a private party that was held at the Residence Inn in Southfield that was hosted by local drug dealers. And at one point, Tamara was punched in the face twice when she refused to have sex with one of the attendees.
Ugh.
Her boyfriend, Eric, who was a drug dealer who went by Big E, stepped in to defend her, and a fight broke out, and police were called, but there are no records of any follow-up after that night. 2 weeks later, on April 30th, 2003, Tamara was pulling into Eric's neighborhood at 3:40 a.m., when a man driving a white Chevy Trailblazer pulled up next to them and opened fire on the vehicle.
Ugh.
Tamara was struck 3 times and later died from the wounds she sustained. Police opened an investigation into the man responsible for Tamara's murder, and 18 months later, they held a press conference to announce that a rival drug dealer named Derek King had been the one who had shot and killed Tamara.
That's convenient.
Mm-hmm. Derek was adamant that he had nothing to do with the murder and agreed to take a lie detector test, which he passed. To top it all off, Tamara's boyfriend, Eric, also testified that Derek had not been the man who had opened fire on them that night, because Eric was hit, but he survived. But police insisted that he was their man because his wife drove a white Lincoln Navigator.
Good God.
Case closed.
Done.
Lock him up.
That's enough evidence.
White SUV.
Yeah.
Even though eyewitnesses said white Trailblazer, including the person who was shot that night. Yeah. Derek King was never charged with her murder, and rumors also mounted that she had been shot because of the incident at the hotel with the other drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
But those rumors were never substantiated either. In May of 2003, Deputy Police Chief Gary Brown reopened the investigation into the alleged party where the mayor's wife attacked Tamara. But the investigation was cut short when Gary Brown was fired by the mayor, quote, in retaliation for an investigation into indiscretions by the mayor's security detail.
You shouldn't. So he fired the person in charge.
Yep.
Of the investigation.
Yep.
That's not how that works.
It's not suspicious at all. And it gets just gets so much better, Sadie.
Oh, I bet it does.
I'm also just like, God, guys, give it 5 seconds. Put a little space in between it when they're just so obviously trying to cover something up.
Right.
Like in the case of Tori Bethel's death.
Yes.
Do an investigation. Pretend to do an investigation. Sit down and just have a couple of monkeys type on a typewriter and submit it and put it in the file. Something, you know?
Yes.
Pretend like you're doing your job. Go on ChatGPT and be like, hey, write me a police report for XYZ.
Yeah.
To just not do anything and then just start firing people when they try to do something. Like, why are we here, sir? What is the entire point of us being here if this is... You're just going to fire us for trying to do our jobs. All granted, right. I understand you and your wife are at the center of this whole thing, but still, frame me for something. Don't just like immediately fire a guy in retaliation. I mean, do, because then it's more obvious that you're guilty, but God. So then in June of 2003, Michigan Attorney General Mike Cox, who was also rumored to have attended the party, and it's on the news reports from a time, too. They're like, and Mike Cox was there.
Jesus.
He said that he found no evidence that the party happened and cleared the mayor of the allegations of wrongdoing or a cover-up.
This is a conflict of interest I've ever heard one.
Mm-mm. No. He definitely wasn't having extramarital affairs or interactions with exotic dancers. Or
of course not.
Doing bowlfuls of cocaine or whatever else was going on that night. Definitely wasn't doing any of those things.
Of course not.
Additionally, former police lieutenant Alvin Bowman refused to stop investigating Tamara's murder and so was transferred from the homicide division to a midnight precinct assignment as punishment.
No.
Alvin Bowman fucking rules because this guy wrote in a sworn affidavit that Tamara had been shot 18 times with a 40 caliber weapon, which is the same kind of weapon issued to law enforcement.
18 times?
Well, we'll get into that detail, but according to him, and I don't know, I mean, we're going to get to this very soon. Most of her files have been deleted.
Of course they have.
Of course they have. So I can't corroborate this. Allegedly, according to Bowman, she had been shot 18 times with a 40 caliber weapon, which is a police issue weapon. And it was a Glock. And he was like, at the time, Glocks were not popular on the streets. They were using these other kinds of guns, but these were not street guns. These were police guns. He noted that while Tamara was shot to the point of overkill, her boyfriend Eric was able to exit the vehicle and was shot but not mortally wounded. And the vehicle circled back and drove past Eric again without resuming fire. So Tamara very much seemed the target of the attack. He also alleged that the accuracy with which she was shot was consistent with someone who had advanced training with firearms, and also stated that he believed she had been murdered by a Detroit Police Department officer. He also stated that he had obtained phone records that linked Tamara to high-ranking city employees that she had communicated with not long before her murder. He stated that he spoke with multiple witnesses, as did his fellow officers, who were scared to speak out in fear of retaliation from the mayor or his executive protection unit police officers, Lorenzo Jones and Mike Martin. So his specific protection team.
Right.
Lorenzo Jones and Mayor Kilpatrick had been friends since they played football together in high school, and Jones had been close friends with Mike Martin, as they had both come from the second precinct, which was openly referred to as the, quote, Wild Wild West. It was, quote, widely believed by other members of the police department that Jones and Martin had, quote, authority to do virtually anything without fear of repercussions, and that Jones had de facto control over the executive protection unit, despite being a lower ranking officer than many members of the team. Alvin Bowman claimed that the chief of police at the time, Jerry Oliver, requested the case files be delivered to him for review on multiple occasions, and each time the files were returned with reports missing. Chief Oliver was replaced by Chief Ella Bully Cummings. How about you're a police chief and your name is Bully Cummings?
Wow.
Yeah. And she informed Bowman and two other officers in a private meeting that the file needed to be placed in safekeeping and the case was not to be discussed outside of her office. On another occasion, the second in command, Harold Cureton, asked, quote, why can't this shit just go away? And the file was placed in a locked safe after that. City IT personnel were instructed to erase case notes on Sergeant Marion Stevenson's computer, and a zip storage file containing information on the case was stolen from a locked cabinet from Marion Stevenson, as well as Alvin Bowman's computer was seized. Both Alvin Bowman and Marion Stevenson reported having strange harassing behavior start after the media started reporting more heavily on the case, including Bowman's home being broken into and, quote, unexplained police responses to Stevenson's home. I don't know the details of what that means, but unexplained police responses creeps the fuck out of me. Yeah.
Yes.
Tamara's case was transferred to cold case just 1 year after her murder. And while Alvin Bowman was on vacation.
Of course.
And he was told he'd been, quote, asking too many questions when he asked why it had been transferred.
I can't believe this wasn't transferred to the FBI or something.
I know. I know. And I will talk a little bit more about her at the end, but I found this case on TikTok because her daughter, Tamara's daughter, Ashley Jackson, did a video about this and it went viral. And so it's gotten more attention. Also, a Crime Town podcast did a whole series on this. but hopefully it'll start to get more attention because Kilpatrick has also gotten more attention, which I'll talk about more, but it just seems time for somebody to take a deeper look into it. And I don't know if there's anything that can be done because of files being destroyed and things, but surely there are enough witnesses who know what the fuck happened in this case that we can piece it together, even 20 years later. So to be a cold case in Detroit, a case must be at least 2 years old and not under active investigation. And her case was neither. It was only a year old and it was under active investigation.
It's like, where can we put this? Cold case, cold. Put it in the freezer.
Alvin Bowman's like, I'm going to go to St. Pete. I'll see you guys in a week. And then it gets back. They're like, oh, whoops, just transferred it. Don't worry about that one that you were very actively and openly and obviously investigating.
He's like, I was about to crack the case wide open.
Yeah.
Like, nope. Cold. It's cold. Burr.
And he was like, he said, I have no doubt in my mind that we would have figured this out had we been given the opportunity. But they stole our computers. They went on our computers and erased files from Marion Stevenson's computer.
How is it possible?
I think
it's so corrupt.
It's so sad to know that this is just possible and happens all the damn time. Because of course it does. Of course it does. If you had access to something like that and your friends or your family members were being threatened, zip zap. Oh, whoopsie daisy, all gone. Cold. Yep. It's done now. We're just going to ignore that one. I hate it.
I do too.
So the head of the cold case squad, Sergeant Odell Godbold.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some good names in this one. Said that Tamara's case was a, quote, hot potato, and that they wouldn't be investigating for fear of retribution from people associated with the Manoogian Mansion party.
That this is all still, how it goes.
Yep.
You don't not, it, like, no, you still have to do it.
No, that sucks. It's just a job like any other job, though. Ultimately, it's like I'm pulling in a pretty good pension, good salary. I'm sure these guys are making $100,000, $200,000 a year, depending. But it's still your job. I don't want to die. I don't want my family to die because Mike Cox doesn't want me to investigate his stupid party. That's not how it should be, but
yeah,
it's not like you have superpowers. It's not like you're making 10 times that much money. You know what I mean? Like, what is the incentive for people to do their full job other than like Alvin Bowman? Why did Alvin Bowman be such a badass and write this 10-page affidavit outlining all of this? I don't know, but that is brave ass shit. And I'm so grateful for people who do, but I also can't blame people who don't.
Somebody else needs to step in. That's not connected in the same way, not involved in the city, not easily accessible. CIA, Men in Black. I don't know.
I know.
There's got to be some sort of secret organization that can just swoop in and solve crimes and fix corrupt governments.
We just got to go full vigilante. We got to get the biker gangs to do it. Like the biker gangs that go and the guys and go.
Westboro Baptist protests or whatever.
Yes. And go get the kids from school that are being bullied and pick them up in their like souped up cars. We need those guys to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's another thing that Tori Bethel's mom said. She immediately went to the Kansas Bureau of Investigations and they were like, tough shit. If the police has to do their investigation, she's like, they're not. And they're like, well, let's just wait and see. And she's like, well, meanwhile, my daughter's death is not being investigated. You understand that there's a limited amount of time that this needs to happen and it's not happening. And they're like, well, we'll just have to see if it does.
But it's not gonna.
What? Yeah. Oh, God. Ugh. This. I'm so sorry for the people who have to go through this.
I can't imagine. I'm so frustrated just listening to it.
Yep.
And have no loved ones involved. I can't imagine.
No. Calling Comcast ruins my day, let alone having to fight an entire city, a big old city like Detroit, for justice.
Yeah.
So Sergeant Odell Godbold also had a nephew who'd had a relationship with Tamara. So conflict of interest again. When Alvin Bowman was transferred to the night shift, he was told verbally it was because he asked too many questions, but the official reason was because he misspelled homicide in a report.
Oh, my God.
He concluded by saying that, quote, the mayor, Chief Bully Cummings, Chief of Staff Christine Beatty, and Jerry Oliver created a culture of fear and intimidation that not only scared off investigators and made them fear for their jobs and safety, but also scared off witnesses, witnesses who heard the rumors of Miss Green dancing at the party, saw what happened to Miss Green, learned of the retaliation against police officers who tried to investigate, and believed that if the good cops couldn't protect themselves, that they certainly could not protect the witnesses. Chief Bully Cummings held a press conference calling Bowman's statements erroneous and reprehensible, specifically citing that he'd claimed she'd been shot 18 times, but the medical examiner's report said she'd been shot 3 times and denied any wrongdoing on her part or the part of her fellow officers and associates. She also refused to answer specific questions and said that she, quote, wasn't going to go through the affidavit line by line and didn't have time to answer a lot of questions. It's the most offensive interview you've ever seen in your life. And the newscasters were even like, yeah, she really didn't want to answer our questions. She was really dodging some questions. Wow. They're talking to each other back and forth, like the woman that was there talking to the people in the station. Woo, she did not like you. That's so great. She just comes out straight up like, I am not going to be answering questions today, so don't ask me any questions.
Oh, my God.
But then had one point that she could call out in the entire 10-page affidavit. Nothing else. She didn't want to comment on any of the rest of it because
of course not.
It's an open investigation, which is such a convenient response from the police when they don't want to talk about things or deal with things.
Right. You mean the open investigation you're not investigating and you're keeping people from investigating that open investigation? That very cold, cold investigation.
Freezing cold. The lead detective on the case, Mike Carlisle, claimed that while the shell casings had been from a .40 caliber weapon, the lab results said they hadn't been shot from a Glock, but wouldn't elaborate further. And we know how accurate those forensics are from Sadie talking about them during an entire Patreon episode. Basically, what's that called? What's gun forensics?
Ballistics.
Not super accurate, you guys. Not a good way to rule something in, right?
You can rule it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples and right in the nick of time, because guess what is in full swing where I live?
Spring.
And only where I live. Nobody else is experiencing the wonders of spring and the dousing of pollen straight to my face and into our sinuses, are we?
Probably not. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better.
Ugh, I need that. Honestly, I need it right now. I need to take it right now.
Claritin has always been my go-to when I get seasonal allergies. It doesn't make me sleepy, first and foremost, when all other allergy pills I've ever taken do. And it doesn't give me the jitters, which I also very much appreciate because your girl has enough jitters on her own.
Yeah, I can go outside when people are mowing their lawn and feel like I can't breathe.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can just sit inside of my house and not feel like my face is going to explode out of my head. What a concept. So are you ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. He said that Tamara was simply in the wrong place at the wrong time, and if the mayor had been involved, he would have gladly put him in handcuffs.
God.
But Alvin Bowman sued the city and was awarded $200,000. They sided with him.
Wow.
Yep.
That's surprising.
Former Deputy Chief Gary Bowman filed a similar whistleblower lawsuit against the city and won $2.9 million.
Wow.
And along with two other officers and a lawyer involved in the case, the city awarded over $8 million as they sided with the claims that they had been retaliated against in relation to the Tamara Green case.
Great. You know what would have been easier? To just solve the murder. A lot, lot cheaper, too.
Honey, I encourage you to go read about Kwame Kilpatrick. But
no, dude,
this guy, so many millions of dollars.
Oh, my God.
Millions of dollars just poof under his employ. Yeah.
You're telling me he is responsible for the continued downfall of Detroit that's working so hard to
get back on its feet. And then 2008 happened. Boosh. Fuck God. You. Yeah.
Yeah.
That just drained your coffers. And guess what? Now there's a housing crisis and mm-mm. we are going to sell all of our buildings for $1.
No.
Yeah. They claimed that Kilpatrick had silenced them to cover up his extramarital affairs. And during those trials, Kilpatrick and his chief of staff, Christine Beatty, testified under oath that they had not had an affair. But during that investigation, sexy, sexy messages between Kilpatrick uh-huh. and Christine Beatty surfaced, proving that they'd lied under oath. And the city council asked for the governor of Michigan to use his power to remove Kilpatrick from office. Beatty did step down. But in the meantime, Kilpatrick and Beatty were charged with 12 felony counts, including, quote, perjury, misconduct in office, and obstruction of justice.
Wow.
He was later charged with assaulting an officer by his old pal, Mike Cox. Oh, Mike Cox. No loyalty there, duder. Once the ship starts to sink, all the fleas come a popping off, don't they? And Kilpatrick announced his resignation on September 4th, 2008. Also, how convenient. How convenient. You see the writing on the wall, bro.
Yeah.
You're like, shit's about to get real hard in this city, so I'm just going to resign.
I'm out.
Yep. As a part of a plea deal where he also pled guilty to two felony counts of obstruction of justice and pleaded no contest to assaulting the deputy. Quote, he agreed to serve 4 months in the Wayne County Jail, pay $1 million of restitution to the city of Detroit, surrender his license to practice law, submit to 5 years probation, and not run for public office during his probation period, and surrender his state pension from his 6 year service in the Michigan House of Representatives before being elected mayor. In 2010, he was slapped with more corruption charges relating to extortion, bribery, and fraud. If you look again, if you research him, it's like, and then he employed his dog to do the lawn maintenance. And then he employed his own left hand to do the, it's so much nepotism. It's insane.
Yeah.
So he was found guilty of those charges and sentenced to 28 years in prison.
Holy shit.
But then... uh-huh. On January 20th, 2021, thanks to help from Kim and Kanye.
Oh, God.
President Donald Trump commuted Kilpatrick's sentence with less than 12 hours remaining before he was due to leave office as president.
Okay. That's where this name is familiar. Got
it. Mm-hmm. The White House statement on the pardoning of Kilpatrick reads, quote, Mr. Kilpatrick has served approximately 7 years in prison for his role in a racketeering and bribery scheme while he held public office. During his incarceration, Mr. Kilpatrick has taught public speaking classes and has led Bible study groups with his fellow inmates.
Ugh, that's cruel.
And I looked up why Kim and Kanye took this case, and I think their big argument was that he was given such a hefty sentence for financial crimes when white men don't get the same sentences, which, fair point, but white men should be getting the same sentences.
Yes.
So let's not fight to release the men who have preyed upon an entire city, a struggling city, and the citizens therein, and the police department, and innocent women who have been murdered in relation to your never proven parties. Let's make sure that people who are ruining millions of lives through financial crimes are being punished for those crimes.
Yeah.
Kim and Kanye, take up that mantle. God.
Yes. I definitely was thinking the the reason he got any prison sentence at all is because he's black.
Absolutely.
So I agree. But yes. Otherwise,
yes.
No, it feels more appropriate.
Yes. So President Trump's commutation allowed Kilpatrick to gain release 20 years early, though it did not vacate his conviction. The commutation left in place the almost $4.8 million in restitution and the three-year probation. Kilpatrick will not be able to run for office in Michigan until 2033. As a felon, is excluded from politics for 20 years after conviction under Michigan law. How about no times?
I think if it's political in nature.
Yeah, I think just felons about to say that. Should, yes.
Yes. Yes. I think felons, they did their time or whatever. But if you held political office and you were grossly negligent and abusive of that power, you don't get to ever run again.
I totally agree. Nonviolent crimes, by all means. Yeah. Let's give people redemption stories. But yes, if you were a mayor and you just fucking got into the mayor's office
everything.
And just started shooting a machine gun through the city,
right.
Yes, you should probably not be allowed to be the mayor of another major city or a mayor of a tiny
town.
Yep. Tamara's family filed a $150 million lawsuit against the city, claiming she was murdered to silence her regarding her involvement at the Manoogian Mansion party, and the court sided with the city, stating there wasn't enough evidence to prove a cover-up.
Because they covered it up!
And it's interesting that they sided with the officers, and then they were like, you guys were definitely silenced and retaliated against. But
this family? No.
Yeah. The family's lawyer, Norman Yatuma, put up a $100,000 reward for any information that leads to justice for Tamara's murder. The family continues to fight for justice and closure in the 20-year-old case. And like I said before, I found this case because her daughter, Ashley, who's 27, I think now, who's 7 years old when Tamara was murdered, made a TikTok recently and said, quote, after so many years of trying to fight for justice, I have been a standing lone wolf and have grown very tired.
No.
I feel like if he didn't do it, he knows who did, she said, obviously referring to Kilpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding his pardon by President Trump, she said, so now the man who is responsible for my mother's murder is living his happily ever after life. Ugh,
God.
And that, my darlings.
No.
It's the bullshit murder and cover up of poor Tamara Green.
Justice for Tamara.
Justice for Tamara. Justice for her children. Justice for her mother. Justice for that city. Justice for the officers and the people who have been harassed and silenced. And I just can't believe that we just let it all happen. It's so obvious that it's so fucked.
Yeah.
I just think back to like, when Black Lives Matter was happening in 2020 and all the conversations and arguments I was getting in with people about police departments, people being like, I just don't think that's true. And I just, you know, it's like I have really strong pattern recognition, right? So when you see enough things and you hear enough people say enough things, you're like, okay, there's some truth to this. But I had no idea, like, until doing this podcast, until talking to people who are actually police officers who have had actual firsthand experience with this. It's just like, I just don't like it, man. It's not good, guys. It's just not good. And again,
just watching the whole Trump presidency, the continued bullshit that's happening with him. It's happening everywhere all the time.
Yep.
100%.
And I just really don't want to pay my taxes anymore.
I know.
And I'm like pro taxes, man. I love to share the wealth. What's the point of having money if we're not helping other people with it? Right. We're not putting it back into the local economy. I don't need to hold $2. I need to give $2 to the rideshare driver. I just do. It just makes sense to me. It's the right.
Totally.
I want to be a good citizen.
Yes. My money's going to be going towards funding schools. Yeah, let's do that. Healthcare.
Yes.
Roads. 100%.
Libraries. All of this.
Yes.
Yep.
To our billionaires? Fuck no.
Fuck no. to foreign bodies that are do not have good intentions for people in other countries. No, absolutely. No.
Let's not do that.
No, I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't either.
And I, again, it sucks, too, that good officers can't stick around.
You know, for any IRS agents listening, we do pay our taxes.
But I don't want to anymore.
We do it begrudgingly.
Oh, my God. I was really hoping that tax strike was going to kick off this year because I would join it up. Like if enough people just didn't pay.
Right. Got to do something.
What are you going to do?
Fix the system.
Yeah. We need some strikes. We need some strikes. But of course, they banned TikTok. So I mean, not officially, but most likely.
God, it's just they are trying to keep the people down.
They're trying to keep the people down. I know it's like put on your tinfoil hats because here comes conspiracy hour with the ex-sisters. But
I know
it's not even a conspiracy anymore.
It just it feels easy to be like, oh, that's not really how it works. Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah.
And navigating education with my children.
Yeah.
And just the disillusionment. And how do you explain to kids and educate them that everything they want to believe in?
I know. I think about
isn't
that.
Isn't real.
All time. Yeah.
And how sad is that?
Yep.
It sucks.
Yep.
It shouldn't be this way. We should want to take care of each other.
Yep. And I think we do. It's the thing I come back to. I've taken a little bit of a break from TikTok and bad news for the last couple of weeks and focused more on things I have control over, which sometimes it's as simple as like refurbishing a lamp to give it more life. Things that just help me focus on what I have control over. And in those moments, I think a lot about exactly what you just said. Thinking about the boys. I think about the boys all the time. And like, how do you give them a realistic view of the world without just crushing their spirit? And I do think that there's so much beauty in human beings. We are capable of extraordinary things. And we do extraordinary things all the time. But yeah, it's just the power imbalance right now is upsetting. I also am grateful that I'm old enough to have lived through this before to some extent. I think back then, it wasn't as bloated and we didn't have the internet, so it wasn't as obvious. But right now does feel a lot like the late 90s to me. And I remember feeling so disenfranchised and so grossed out by the just like hyper-consumerism. And yeah, everything was just so generic feeling and inaccessible feeling. And that's what it feels like right now. And so I'm just holding my breath that there will be another revolution and I mean, economic revolution, but also media, like movies are all the exact same movie right now. Television is all reality TV, like all the actually good shows are getting defunded and things. But I've been going back and watching all my favorite movies from the late 90s and early 2000s. There are some good ass movies, man.
I feel way more hopeful than I have in many years. And I'm not sure. Yeah, I think part of it's just having better mental health. But it's an interesting shift of sort of what you were just talking about, making it more local. Like, what is it that I can do to change my own surroundings? How can I make change for my community?
Yeah.
I can't fix the big overarching problems, but I can fix my family's problems. I can fix, like we can work together to make, and hopefully that will just rip, you know, it'll be a ripple effect where we can make it more broad.
Yeah. Cause we
especially
can.
With, you know, so we are kind to each other. We are helpful. We stand up for the injustices we see. We have hope.
Yeah.
We get educated ourselves.
Yeah, I do. Because there are more of us than there are of them. And can we dismantle it all and take it down? I mean, it's been a while, but we've done it before.
Yeah, no. And I think that's where we're headed for sure. It's just figuring out how to get organized to do it. I saw, I'm sure it was TikTok, that said in the last 18 months, a family of four's expenses for food alone has gone up $11,000 a year. And I could, that could be totally made up, but that's what it feels like. Like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's why.
No, I believe it. I believe it. I really do. Yeah. I mean, I'm a childless, I'm a single, a childless lady. I'm a rich auntie. And I'm not making enough money.
No.
Just not to cover this shit. Last year, 2 years ago, making plenty of money. No problem.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. Leaning on my Ryan credit cards and running after the charges and shit. Yeah, it's rough right now.
Yeah, it really is. Ryan and I are making more money than we've probably ever. Well, maybe not ever, but as a people with children, making more money than we ever have. And it's like, you would never know it. You would never know it.
I saw
barely squeaking by.
Yeah, I think the minimum wage, like the household income you have to be to make to be minimum or middle class right now, is like. It's like $178,000 a year for bare basic necessities for a family of four. $178,000?
Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah. And our minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. Like, what are we doing? It is all made up. It is all made up.
Yep. So. And then there's a big part of me that writes these stories and I'm like, yeah, my shit is hard. Shit is hard right now for people, but I don't have to fight an entire city to find out who killed my mother.
No.
To get answers. And then have fucking Kim and Kanye like come into this guy's side. Like, just do a quick cursory Google search, guys.
Seriously.
And be like, oh, maybe I should side with this daughter and not this corrupt fucking politician.
No.
Oh, makes me so mad. Kim Kardashian. I'm talking about Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, if you're unfamiliar. Like, that sucks for her kids. Sad for her kids. No. Just leave it alone, Kim and Kanye. Just walk away. Like, don't.
There are other battles to fight.
Yes.
Very worthy
battles
to fight.
Yes. There are tons of black men who have been falsely imprisoned. Thousands and thousands upon thousands of them that need your help could use your voice. Not fucking Kwame Kilpatrick, who defrauded a city to the tune of many millions of dollars. Like, what? Gross. Mm-mm. So I, on behalf of Kim and Kanye, apologize to her children because that is just sad.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Super upsetting. And I apologize on behalf of President Donald Trump for literally everything. Former president.
Former
and future President Donald
Trump. Oh, no.
It's all theater, you guys. That's what I tell. It actually really calms me down when I think about the upcoming election. It's all theater. It's all it is. It doesn't fucking matter. I hate to say it. Go ahead and vote. But it really does not matter at this point. I feel so confident in saying that now. It's theater. So whoever gets to take the stage next time, it sucks, but it's really not that much different at this point, which is weirdly comforting. Mm-hmm. And like Sadie said, let's focus on the local and let's focus on empowering ourselves and each other and not being so tired and beat down, which is why this has all been engineered to be so expensive and impossible. So that we are tired and beat down and we're just trying to survive and get by. But yeah, American politics.
No bueno.
It's not good, guys. It's not good. It's not good. Hello. Also, these guys are 5,000 years old. Like, why? Really? That we couldn't come up with another option on either side? Nobody?
No. Nope.
A Kennedy? There
nobody
was one of those
wants to play the
weird
game.
Anti-vaxxer Kennedy, like nobody. Right? Yeah. TikTok said that Michelle Obama was going to step in at the last second, and I was like, "Please, please!" Doesn't look like that's happening.
She's like, "Heck, fuck no! Are you crazy? No."
Heck, fuck no! I'm not doing that.
Heck, fuck no! That's what she always says. We know what she's famous for saying.
Mark Cuban, no, you're definitely out.
No. He's like, no, I'm not going to waste my time and money and have to divest all of my investments or whatever.
No. Yeah. Lori. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Anyway.
Anyway, Do we have themes?
Yes, we do. I forgot what else we were doing here. We sure as shit do. Starting with Booger McFarland. Paisley Snow White.
God, that's adorable.
Mason Dixon. Yes, please. 1,000 times yes. Like,
yes.
Yes.
I'm going to have twins. I'm going to name them Latitude and Longitude.
Please. God, I love a historical and geographical name. Mason Dixon. Ransom Lines. Also.
Yes.
Melissa Areola. Yep. Ostera. Yes. Sisters Olive Clementine and Ruby Coven.
Oh, my God.
Having the last name Coven. Just go.
Yes.
Get out of my face. I want it too bad. Last name Schatz.
Ooh.
Mrs. Hecker.
That is basically my name. That's my spirit animal.
I didn't even realize that because everyone always turns our name to Heck.
Mrs. Hecker.
Last name Stankus.
Oh my God.
The Durr family.
Durr.
Gene Kelly. Allison and Aiden Stoner. Stoner is always a good name. Cotton Fields. My best friend growing up was Dawn Fields.
No.
Teddy Graham. Lyric and Jensen Winchester.
Oh my God.
God bless America. So the listener that sent all the names I just read, her children are Lyric and Jensen Winchester. Jensen Winchester. And she said Winchester is his middle name. If you know, you know. I don't know.
Winchester.
Jensen Winchester. I don't know.
Tell us.
Is it a book reference?
Is it a
Twilight reference?
Right. I am watching Bridgerton for the first time.
Everyone. Wait, we're not done with name time. Hold that thought. There's an Argentinian Italian food restaurant called Argentalia. Oh my God. Phoenix, middle name Rainbow. Her mother's name is Raven.
Of course it is.
There's an ice cream pastry coffee shop, and one of the investors' name is Chip Fudge. Because, obviously, where should I put this extra money I have? I know.
Yeah, ice cream. Coffee.
Dog names from a doggy daycare. Traveler Van. Winter Coat.
Oh, my God.
Super Birch. Oh. Mango Cave. Fillmore Gilmore. Woody Carpenter, Dior Chanel, Smokey Curry, and Fozzie Botts.
Oh my God.
Pastor Matt Winkler was murdered by his wife, and then she began dating a man named Daryl Pillow.
I'm sorry that happened.
So sorry for your loss, but the name Pillow, Daryl Pillow, is really good. That's far really too good. And that's it. That's all the names for this week, everybody. That's
a solid list. That was a solid list.
Such a super solid list. And what time is it? Let's see. I think we should do a couple namey names for our Patreon. A couple shouty-outies, I mean, for our Patreon supporters. If you would like to be a Patreon supporter, you can do so for as little as $5 a month. Have we reached 200 episodes over on Patreon
yet? Not yet. 190. This week it'll be 197.
Holy God. So
close.
Get in there. Get signed up. Oh, and we need to schedule our Patreon party. We are going to have a Patreon party in May. Sadie was out of town last week, so that slipped by us. But we'll do that hopefully today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Put a date on the calendar, and then you can come hang out with us and have some fun. And in the meantime, we would like to thank people by me doing something ridiculous, which is what you're about to hear if you're new to this podcast. So
buckle up, buttercup.
Buckle up, Daryl Pillow.
Thank you so much to SM Ruby 87.
Oh, come on.
You're tuned into SM Ruby 87, and I'm going to sing you a late night love song.
Baby, Ruby 87, oh, don't say maybe. When I think about you, I go crazy. Ruby 87, you're the one, hon. Baby, come on down here and tell me what you're made of. Gorgeous, I'm captivated by you. You are the reason. You are unbelieving when I tell you that I love you so. But don't you know that I will never let you go? Oh, God.
Thank you so much, SM Ruby 87. I swear to God, I didn't like line these up like this. This is just how they came in. Just reading them. But thank you so much to Tarantula Twink.
Come on.
Tuning in now to Heavy Metal Mayhem Pirate Radio X103.
Was it Tarantula what?
Twink.
I got to think of how Metallica sounds.
Tarantula Twink down in the sink where the cool things live. I put the pasta into the sieve and it drowns down. Tarantula Twink gets hit with my pasta water and says, listen, Buster, get out of here with that fodder. I'm just trying to be super evil, but also kind of slight and fair, my nerd. I say, listen, Buster, why are you living in my sink? If you wanna be evil, you should come out of the drink and unleash your power. Let it rain on the earth. Let the people know that you are the one that they can count on to be the most menacing and rudest one. Tarantula Twink, get out of the sink and be heinous and destroyer of the earth.
And in the Midwest, they call water the drink. And at least my wife does. I don't know if that's common nomenclature, but
I think it's just your wife.
She also calls the restroom the John, which is the cutest damn thing of all
that's
time.
That's cute.
I love a northern Midwestern, like. Park. It's like the dialect and the accents, the best.
So much.
So much. All right. Who else?
Last but not least. Thank you so much to Taryn Ivy.
Ripping through it, going through the ivy and tearing it apart, destroying it because it'll go down into your foundation and crack it, rip it apart. So you gotta destroy that ivy. You gotta make sure you maintain good self-care. If you wanna live forever, be aware that your foundation needs to be so solid, needs to be so pristine. And get it tuck pointed. That is a metaphor for taking care of yourself, making sure you nourish your body, take care of your mind, and let yourself find what your true destiny is in this world. Taryn Ivy, you are blindingly beautiful, and you need to know that you gotta be full. You gotta be
well-rounded and holistically mended and never-ending in your pursuit of being your full self in this world. So when that ivy starts to creep up, you gotta rip it down. Send it to the incinerator. Because you are tearing ivy, but it's also a metaphor for how you need to take care of yourself because you are so precious to me. How about writing metal songs about self-care? Using your own name as metaphor for your own self-care. Complicated. This is the kind of shit I'm talking about. I want indie music back. Indie films about Big Lebowski and
yes.
Metal songs about self-care.
Fuck
not
yes.
Too much to ask.
No.
Bridgerton.
Oh. Bridgerton. So I know like there was a, like people are crazy for the show.
Yeah, 4 years ago they were.
Exactly. Yes. And I just didn't get, I tried. I remember watching it and I just, my brain couldn't connect.
Yeah, you were having a hard time 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And you know how it goes. Sometimes just shows don't click and, yes. and then you're like, eh, whatever. Well, I got sick. Feeling much better. Don't, thank you. And just let myself for the first time in a very long time, probably since getting medicated.
Yeah.
The need to lay in bed and watch TV nonstop. Has passed.
Yes.
I don't need to do that anymore.
Same.
I did it though on Friday.
Good. Hashtag self-care.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so nice. And
you
I
tore down really, your ivy.
I did. And I was watching it and I was like, holy shit. Yeah. And everybody who's listening right now is like rolling their eyes.
I mean,
it was produced by the same person that created Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I forgot. Is it a, what's her head?
Come Shonda.
On. Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah.
I didn't know she did Grey's Anatomy. Oh my God. I had no idea. I knew she did Scandal.
Scandal.
She's done a lot. Shonda so Rhimes much. Is busy.
So busy.
Yeah, Bridgerton's a blast, man. That shit is great.
Oh
that
my God.
Duke it's, can get it. Oh come on. God. This oh homosexual God. Woman would happily welcome that Duke into her
a million beds.
Chambers any day of the week.
Yeah. But I was laughing at myself because, as all of you know or don't know, I have watched all 19 seasons. I don't know how many there are. Mm-hmm. So many seasons of Grey's Anatomy. I binged most of them while struggling with my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was watching Bridgerton and was like, why is this so spicy?
Yeah.
This is familiar. This is, and then I put it all together.
You're like, this is my comfy place. Why do I love it? Because it's a Shonda Rhimes joint. You just Shonda. Need to go and explore her entire catalog. And you have been busy for a very long time. But you are obviously.
I don't know if I really
a
do.
Shonda Stan. I think you, I mean.
Because part of me is sort of like
two
also.
Two for two, Sade.
So I'm looking at her list of shit. There's a lot of stuff here. Probably I just
people
don't really
love
need to watch.
Scandal. People are mad about Scandal. You should
I'll
give
try
it a,
Scandal.
Yeah,
I
give
will.
It a, give it a whirl.
I will. So anyway, for those of you that don't know, I really think I'm probably the only one that didn't know.
It's never so too fun. Late to come around to Bridgerton.
Yeah, no, I fully recommend it. I yeah. really am enjoying it and. Was happy to lay. I watched the whole first season in one day because that's all I did all day after we recorded. And then I laid in bed and coughed and watched Bridgerton.
I've watched every TV and I am so sad about it every day. I really literally have watched every TV that is worth yeah. watching. Although I did find Devs recently. Somehow that sneaked past me, probably because the name is dumb. And unless mm-hmm. you're a like tech developer, you don't know what that means. But Devs right. is really fun. I Help really enjoyed list. It.
I rewatched season two of Fargo.
Oh, yeah, I should
and
do
I
that,
And I think
actually.
It is the best, one of the best seasons of television ever. It's Did, so good.
Is that the Kirsten Dunst and Landry yes. episode or season?
Yes.
I need to rewatch
it's
it.
It's so, so good.
Did you watch this season?
No, that was my plan. I have not yet. Oh, wait, did I?
With John Hamm?
Oh, yes, I did.
And Juno.
I loved it. Yes.
Yes.
That yes. I'm sorry. That's why. Yeah.
Is perfection.
Yes.
It's so good. It bogs down a tiny bit in the middle for me, but mm-hmm. I mean, I was still very entertained, but damn, it was worth it just to get to the last episode. So if you have gotten stuck in the middle of the season of Fargo, just push really on good. Through. It's fucking great.
Yeah. And that's why I can't believe I forgot, but I just watched the most recent season. And then I loved it so much. I was like, I'm going to go back. I remember loving the second season so much.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
It's so good. FX. Thank God for FX. They are. Mm-hmm. And weirdly, Peacock is making good shows. Like, I've watched a bunch of shows on Peacock lately and they were actually all really kind of good and a little subversive. But yeah, thank God for FX. I will watch anything on FX and enjoy it. Although I can't watch Shogun because I always have to look at my phone when I'm watching TV because that's when I let my brain rot. But
yeah.
And you have to read Shogun, but people say it's great.
Yeah, I should watch it, but I'm the same.
Well, in news over here, I was working from my desk yesterday. I sit next to a big picture window if I work from the house, and I look out and there's a little squirrel draped over a post, sunning himself. And he was so relaxed and cute. I thought maybe he was dead, but he wasn't dead. I was like, that's so cute, little sunbathing squirrel. And then 5 minutes later, another squirrel shows up and stretches out on the picnic table, on the table we have on our deck, stretches out little legs behind him, arms in front of him, and just goes to sleep right next to his little pal who's draped over the post, like dangling. 5 minutes later, another squirrel shows up on the ground next to the picnic table. And I just like had a fucking little squirrel sun bathing platform yesterday. It was so cute.
They were like drunk or
I mean they just kept showing up.
That's so cute.
I don't know what I can do to keep this little squirrel sunbathing
squirrel
situation.
Nap station.
Yes. I didn't know squirrels did that. I didn't know they did it as a community of pals.
I mean, I've definitely had napping squirrels around my yard.
But not in like clusters,
or when it gets
right?
Hot? No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. It made me feel like the world's going to be okay. Squirrels are coming and napping in little clusters of three.
Or it's a bad omen and we just don't know it yet.
There were doves fighting each other. Like, I'm sure they were mating, but I look out and I'm like, oh, squirrels. And I was like, oh my God, a pair of doves. Are you kidding me? And I pulled out my phone to take a video and the one dove's like, peck, peck, peck. And then they start flying around and they hit my windows twice, like trying to get away.
God.
So that feels like a bad omen. I mean, they're just
that
gray,
just feels like pigeon sex.
Perfect gray, little beautiful doves. Just fuck you, go, yeah, fuck off, come out of here. Boosh, boosh, hitting my windows like the omen. But meanwhile, the squirrels are like, ugh, God, so dramatic.
Can you please keep it down over here?
Oil
a white
my back.
Machine is our noise. White noise machine is not working.
So cute. Felt so somehow cute. Gay. Not that sunbathing is gay, but just this little cluster of little. It's like, do I need to give them little towels and give them a steam room or something?
Yes. The answer is yes.
So that's what's been up with us, Bridgerton and squirrel naps. And
done.
If you want to spend more time with us, learn more about these things.
Tune in every week.
Tune in every week. Join our Patreon, and also you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or YouTube at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can always email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
You can rate and review and subscribe to us, please, if you want to.
Yes, please, be nice, because what's the point of being rude to a stranger? It's just doing their best and isn't trying to hurt anyone.
Just want to take some naps with some squirrels. Thank you, AJ Bergans, for your music and for your adorable children that I got to spend last week with. And I miss them every day and I want to cry about it.
Yeah, they are extremely cute. Extremely cute kids. Like, really painfully cute.
And remember...
it's all theater, guys. Mm-hmm. It's not a nice play. People keep walking in front of you at the best parts, and then the understudy has to step in, but the understudy gets sick, and so the choreographer has to do the dance routine, but they haven't danced in 20 years, so it's a little rusty, you know. Somebody's chomping popcorn behind you or just trying to listen. But it's just theater, and we can change the show. We can do some rewrites if we want to. So
yeah, we can cancel this season and hope for better next time.
Yep. Or we can just light this theater on fire. Whatever needs to happen. Hopefully we don't have to escalate to that point. We could just also get up and leave, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the other theaters are really hard to get to. But everything is a possibility if we want it to be, because it's our reality and we can make it whatever we choose. We didn't ask for this situation. We just got born into it. And if we want to change it at any point, why not?
Let's do it.
It's the whole point of being a human, is to do what you want. Free will, baby. So keep that in your hearts, and the world is a more beautiful place than it is a bad place. And we'll see you next time.
We'll see you then.
We love you.
We love you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.